I chose the 110th because I've avoided it for such a long time. It is a very, on the surface you say, hey, this looks pretty simple. And then when you look at it a little bit closer, you'll see how complex it really, really is. The biggest dispute we have is, when is this written? For whom is it written? About what is it written? And it's not all that simple if you look carefully. Le David Mizmor. And the question is this being written by David about himself? Seems a little bit strange. Is it written in honor, a paean to David and his dynasty, all the way to Melech HaMoshiach, as Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch and others would say? Is it written about the Melech HaMoshiach Bichlal, as Sforno would insist? We're going to try to look inside and try to make sense of some of this. Le David Mizmor, Ne'um Hashem le'Adoni HaMelech. Be careful, that's Adoni, not with a kamatz under the nun, which would be a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ne'um Hashem is the language that is used by the Nevi'im when they are quoting a message that God gave. So you will see in Yeshayahu, in Yirmiyahu, and even sometimes in the book of Shmuel, you've got Ne'um Hashem. In fact, even in the Torah, when it goes and tries to quote kivyachol something that Hashem said. If there is Ne'um Hashem le'Adoni, there is now a message being given by someone to my Lord. My Lord, in this case, is the king. So who's giving this message? Is this the poet who's anonymous, who is a Navi, and dares speak in the name of Hashem, quoting what it is that Hashem told him? Shev liyimini, sit to my right hand. Ad aishit oivecha, until I place your enemies, hadom liraglecha, as a footstool to your feet. Now you know that in ancient times, when a king or an empire conquered a country, that country's representatives would come before the conquering king, prostrate themselves underneath his feet, as if to indicate we are the vanquished and you are the conqueror. And we now are your lieges, we are now your servants. This is supposed to be a message that Hashem sent to David or to someone else, and telling him, sit to my right hand. Kivyachol, Hashem is on his throne, and you're at the right hand of his throne, until I will vanquish your enemies and make them a footstool at your feet. Before we go any further, does it make sense to you that this is being said by David about David? To me, it makes no sense. You wouldn't speak about yourself in third person. It makes no sense. Nor has David ever been claiming to be a Navi. He would not speak Ne'um Hashem. The prophet God came to him. The prophet Shmuel came to him and spoke Ben Shem Hashem, Ne'um Hashem. But David never deigned to do anything of the kind. Rashi takes the position of the Medrash and says, this is written by David, but not about himself, but instead about Adoni, and Adoni is none other than Avraham Avinu. Comes Rashi and tells us as follows. Ne'emar al Avraham shekar'ahu Adoni. It is said about Avraham Avinu, this whole thing is about Avraham Avinu, who's to be sitting at the right of God's throne, and he was called Adoni by whom? By Ephron Hachiti, and also by Malkitzedek. And since Malkitzedek is mentioned in the fourth verse, Ata Kohen Le'olam, and the question is, Ata HaMelech or Ata Avraham Avinu? Kohen Le'olam, you are a priest forever. Al divrati malki tzedek. By my word, malki tzedek. In order to substantiate Rashi's position, I went and brought you the quotation that Rashi only gives you a smidgen of. In Bereshit, we're told that the refugee came to Avraham, the refugee from the war between the four kings and the five kings, when Lot was taken captive and held as a hostage. Vayavo ha-palit vayaged la-Avraham ha-Ivri. And we're told at that time, V'hu shochen be'elone mamre ha-Emori. At that time, Avraham Avinu was living in Elone Mamre, amongst the Emori, who are, and he is, if you like, a compatriot, an ally. Achi Eshkol, Achi Einar, Vehem Balei Brit Avraham. And they have made a covenant, an alliance with Avraham. They went out with Avraham to war to try to get Lot back. Vayishma Avraham kinishba achiv, since the palit came and told him about what's going on, he heard that his brother, meaning Lot, his nephew, his relative, has been taken captive. Vayarek et chanichav, he went and got all of his students, Yilidei Beito, those that were born in his house, meaning his servants. Shmona asar v'shlosh meot v'yirdof Adan. 318 men together with Einar and Eshkol, and they chased after them all the way to the northern part of Israel. And what we're then told is, night came and they attacked and made an ambush at night, and he brought back all of the loot. Ve'et Lot Achiv, and his nephew, who we call here Achiv, Ach doesn't necessarily mean your brother as much as your family, your relative. And he brings back all of the women that they took captive and all of the people that they took captive to sell into slavery. At that point, the king of Sodom came out towards him when he brought back all of the loot and all of the captives. And he greets him. But he's also greeted by Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. This is crucial for us to make sense of the rest of the Mizmor. Malki Tzedek is among your ancient monotheists, a contemporary of Avraham Avinu, who believes in one God, who lives in the city of Shalem, and he's king there. Shalem is Yerushalayim. Malki Tzedek goes out to greet him. Hotzi lechem vayayin, and he brings out bread and wine to the returning combatants. Vehu kohen le'el elyon, and he is a priest, a servant of the God on high, one God. Vayevarcheu, and he blesses Avraham. Vayomer Baruch Avraham lekel elyon kone shamayim v'aretz. Avraham is blessed by God, the one that acquired and created the heavens and the earth. So at this point, this is according to Rashi, if you like, the scene that is being described here. We later on hear in the 24th chapter, 10 chapters later, that Sarah dies in Kiryat Arba, hi Chevron be'eretz Kenan, and what we're told is that Avram then approaches Bnei Chet. Remember who Bnei Chet are, the Chitim, Eshkol, Ephon. He says, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, I am a wanderer, but I am settled amongst you. Please give me a portion that I can use as a family burial plot. And Bnei Chet tell him, Shma'enu Adoni, Nisi Elohim ata betochenu. My Lord, listen to us. And they call him my Lord, Adoni. You are a prince of God amongst us. You can choose any grave you want. As you know, of course, Avram didn't want to bury with them. He wanted a plot just of his own. And he ended up actually purchasing Ma'arat HaMachpelah and the field around it. So to Rashi, All of this is not to the king. Ne'um Hashem le'Adoni Avraham. And he's telling Avraham what? This land will be yours. All of this will be yours, and you will be Av Hamon Goyim. But in the meantime, Shev li yimini, sit at my right hand. Carry the message of one God to humanity. Until when? Ad ashit oivecha hadom liraglecha. Until I place all of your enemies as a footstool to your feet. That didn't happen at that war. That will happen in Mirtz Hashem in the latter days. Comes Ibn Ezra and disagrees and says, I don't see this being something that was actually written in the Torah, given as a message to Avraham Avinu. Furthermore, who would have been the prophet that would be telling this to Avram? Avram needed a prophet to tell him? Hashem spoke directly to him. It's nice that Malkitzedek blessed him, called him Adoni. But that's a very far thing than to say, Baruch Ata, you are blessed by God. Gesinterait, because after all, we were told, Mevarechecha Avarech, I will bless all who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. I get that. He says, but I can't say that this is about Avraham Avinu, where some prophet is giving him this message. And therefore, Ibn Ezra comes and says, Ne'emar al David b'sof yamav. This is written about David, not by David, at the end of his life. And to bring proof for it, he cites something which he tells us as is written. Well, I went and looked for it. At the end of his life, the 21st chapter of Shmuel Bet. Vatihi od milchama laplishtim et Israel. The Philistines attacked Israel one more time. Vayere David ve'avadav imo vayelachamu et plishtim vayav David. David went with his men, but he is old now. Remember, David dies when he's 70. And you remember that at the end of his days, he could not be warmed and he was cold the whole time. He was tired. Vayishbe benov asher b'yilidei harafa u'mishkal keno 300 mishkal nechoshet v'hu chagur chadasha v'yoma lehakot et David. The Philistines sent out somebody, the equivalent of Goliath, who is weighing 300, whatever weight that was, covered with brass armor, and he's about to kill David. And at this point, David is exhausted. Vayazor lo Avishai ben Tseruya. You remember that we have Yoav ben Tseruya. Tseruya is from the family of David. One of his relatives, who is out at war with him, helped him at that moment and saved his neck. Vayachet haplishti. And he killed the Philistine that almost killed David. Az nishbe'u anshei David. At that point, David's men swore to him, Lemol, lo tetze od itanu lamilchama. You're too old for this. It's time for you to give up the sword. You will no longer go out to war with us. Ve'lo tichbe et ner Yisrael. We saved you at the nick of time. But we don't want the candle of Israel to be extinguished. Your role now is no longer a man of war. Your role now is to lead the nation spiritually. Let the army do what the army has to do. The king should no longer go out to battle. Do you see the difference in the roles here? Malbim thinks that it's also towards the latter days of his life, but not that war. An earlier one, during the time when David had finally established his throne, and he had felt a little bit smug and didn't go out to battle, sent his men out to battle, and instead he went outside and looked over the rooftops of Yerushalayim and saw Bathsheba. At that time, his men were going to war, and he sat at home. And as far as Malbim is concerned, that was the cause of the sin. According to Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, he agrees with Ibn Ezra. He says, this is a song of praise to David, who fought together with his men to the very end, until he needed to take a new role in his life, and that is to become the candle of Am Yisrael, to show them the light and to lead them spiritually. He would agree with Ibn Ezra. He says David's mission in his life and his role was A, as a warrior, but two, and perhaps the most important and enduring one, is to capture the hearts of Am Yisrael and turn them to the service of Hashem through his poetry, through his inspiration. That is what he needs to do. Now go to the next line and tell me which one you think works best for it. Mate Uscha is parallel to Shev Liyimini. You will become the staff of the strength. And Hashem Yishlach Metzion, God will send a message from Tzion, because at this point, David has already conquered the Yevusim and has now made his home in Yerushalayim. The Aron Kodesh has been brought to Yerushalayim. He is planning the construction of Beit HaMikdash, which he himself will not be able to build. And therefore, if we take this position, says Ibn Ezra, don't go to war anymore. Sit at home. God will do the battle with you. Use your army for it. And it would be Hashem doing it, until we conquer all of your enemies and bring them to as a footstool to you. In the past, I showed you how David had expanded the area of Eretz Yisrael all the way through Syria, all the way to Damascus, including what we call today the Golan Heights. Furthermore, he conquered the south, all the way to the Red Sea, what we call today Eilat. He expanded the area of control of the 12 tribes, unified them in a city that would bring them all together, and that would be Yerushalayim. But he was prevented from building Beit HaMikdash in his lifetime. That was something that he left to his son, Shlomo. Therefore, what does he tell us? He says, Mate Uscha, the thing that you can lean on, the strength that you have, is not the sword, it's not the slingshot. It's the message that Hashem sends from Tzion. And that message, that strength, Redei bekerev oivecha, you will be able to rule, crush, bring down your power, even in the midst of your enemies. How would Rashi then substantiate this to Avraham Avinu? Puts these words into the mouth of Malkitzedek. But Tzion doesn't exist yet. Why would you say Yishlach Hashem Mitzion? There is no Aron Kodesh yet. I grant you that he has enemies, those that wanted to kill him, that wanted to kill Lot, but how can we now say that God will send it from Tzion? To Rashi, this is not an issue, because this is being written by David about Avraham, and Tzion is the place where Avraham Avinu brought his son, Yitzchak, as an offering. Lech lecha el Eretz HaMoriah. Sham, that is the place where Beit HaMikdash ultimately would be built. And that is why it's called Tzion. It is the place that is marked, if you like, the place where heaven and earth kiss. To Rashi, this is not an issue. We can put it directly here. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says, no. The Mate Uscha, the staff of your strength, that will allow you to vanquish and control your enemies is in the Aron Kodesh. It's not as if the Aron Kodesh has magical powers when it goes to war with them, because the Aron Kodesh holds inside it the Luchot HaBrit that came down from Har Sinai, both the broken ones and the second ones, and stands for, if you like, the writ, the evidence of God's special covenant with Am Yisrael and Kodesh Brich Hu. That strength is what your job is now to submit to the rest of the world, by which you will rule them. Why? Because your message is to the rest of the world. That is the role of the Jew. The Jew is to spread, as Abraham did, but now David, through his Tehillim, spread the message of one God who cares about people, who hears their prayers, who wants a relationship with them. Comes the next part. Amcha nedavot. Difficult, by the way. Beyom chelecha. Behadre kodesh merechem mishchar. Lecha tal yaldutecha. I'm going to start from the end because it's a little bit easier. For you, I will re-give you the dew, D-E-W, of your youth. Substantiating Ibn Ezra's position, as Rabbi Shimshon Refai Hirsch's position, that the dew of your youth is the vitality, the freshness of your youth. Your body may not be there, but your spirit, your words are still fresh and alive. And I will give that as a gift to you. When you sit next to me, don't go to war anymore. Amcha nedavot, your nation will volunteer, as they did, and we read that section. They will volunteer to go to war. Biyom chaylecha, on the day of your chayl, in this case, army or strength or valor. But your job, behadre kodesh. Your job, according to Rabbi Shimshon Refael Hirsch, is to remain here in the beauty, the holy beauty of where? Of Yerushalayim. And now comes the big problem, merechem. From the womb, from the day you were born, you were destined for this. Mishchar? Oh my. Now we have a problem about what the word means. Shachor, black. Mishachar, dawn. Shocher can also mean yearning, longing, demanding what I want for, what I yearn for. Comes Radak and tells us as follows. From the day that you were born, the light of dawn was shining for you. And he treats this as shachar, even though it says mishchar. And the dew that fell on the day that you were born. And when is the dew seen? At dawn. The condensation that's seen on the leaves or on the grass is at dawn. It is there for you. In other words, you were destined from the womb. You were destined to be fresh, to be blessed, and above all, to be anointed. As if the dew is anointing you. The throne was yours. That was your destiny. That is what you needed to do. This is, as it were, a song of praise for David at the latter part of his days. Rashi wants to push this to Abraham, and he tells us as follows. From the day you fell out of the womb, you were supposed to become the messenger of God. That youth that you had, when, remember, the Medrash tells us that Abraham came to recognize God when he was 3 years old and looked up and said, it's not the moon, it's not the sun, there's somebody who made the moon and the sun. Do you remember what it was that Malkitzedek called him? Kel Elyon Kone Shamayim Va'aretz. You came to recognize that God. that dew of your youth, that vision that you had when you were young, kept you throughout your life. On the day that you went out to battle, that was to battle the four and the five kings, others came and joined you with you. We're talking about Enar, Eshkol, and the 318 followers of Avraham Avinu, those people that he converted to monotheism. And that's the way Rashi would treat it, based on the Medrash. You see the differences in the approaches that we have here, completely different. Sforno takes the position that this is not at all about David or about Avraham. This is about Melech HaMoshiach, who must, if you like, be behind the scenes. In every generation he is born, waiting for the generation to be worthy. Shev liyimini, sit here at my right hand until the right moment comes. Until I conquer all your enemies. That will be in Milchemet Gog u'Magog, or in English they call it Armageddon. When all people will bow down to you, as we're told in Zechariah the prophet, that at that time all nations will come bearing gifts. You will become, if you like, the message for all the world to come from Tzion, ki mitzion tetze Torah udvar Hashem miYerushalayim, for the whole world. But beforehand there will be enemies, those who will try not only to kill the Jew, but to in fact kill God, the notion that there is a God, trying to prove she'ein din ve'ein dayan, there is no law, there is no judge, it is might makes right. At that day when Mashiach will come, there will be many people who will join with him, who will come to recognize it. That will be the day of your valor. But you were chosen for that day, picked from the womb, fresh and young, you will come out there to lead the nation. And that is Sforno, who sees this whole thing about Melech HaMashiach, who comes from the house of David. Now you will see how all of this will make sense as we move along. Nishba Hashem velo yenachem. God swore, and he will not regret or go back on his word. What was the word? If it's Avraham Avinu, kol ha'aretz asher ata ro'eh lecha etnena. I swore that to you. I swore to you in Brit Ben Haptarim that your children would be enslaved, they would be tortured, but in the end they would come back to this land and it would all be theirs. I don't go back on my promises. If it's to David, Nishba Hashem velo yenachem, Hashem promised that the throne would be yours and would remain yours le'adei ad, until the coming of Moshiach. If it is about the Moshiach himself, God swore and will not change that there will be a Yeshua. There will be a coming of a Moshiach. Ata Kohen le'olam. Now, all three positions have a problem. How can I call him a Kohen? Neither Avraham was a Kohen, neither David was a Kohen, nor can the Moshiach be a Kohen. How can I say Kohen? So I have a footnote for you here. And the Ramban does not write it here, he writes it in Bereshit. Ve'ha'emet ki lashon kihuna. The word kihuna does not mean a priest, it means leadership. Aval lo le'elokut bilvad, but not only for gods. There is Potiphera Kohen On. He's a priest of the god On. But a Kohen can also be used to indicate somebody who leads by inspiration, who manages to rally people around him. Kihine, and here it is, it's written, Uvnei David Kohanim. We're told in Shmuel Bet that the sons of David were Kohanim. It lists, this one was the Kohen, and that one was the head of the household, and that one was the head of the army. And the sons of David were Kohanim. It doesn't mean that they served as Kohanim. It means that they served God. They served and led in the name of God. ובמקומו בדברי הימים, and ditto in דברי הימים and chronicles, ובני דוד הראשונים ליד המלך. They were showing the procession, describing the procession of the king to his palace. And what we're told is that the sons of David were the first ones marching next to their king, their father. וכן, furthermore, in Eov it says, מוליך כהנים שולל, God misleads. He leads the כהנים astray. Who are the כהנים in Eov? They are people who are spiritual leaders of all kinds. And they can therefore be משרתי המלך, the servants of the king. Then he goes and says in Yeshayahu, it says, יכהן פאר. When it wants to describe somebody dressed in royal garments, יתלבש פאר ככהן העובד, that he is dressed in raiments like the כהן when he served in בית המקדש, שיעשו לו בגדים שלא כשאר העם, לכבוד ולתפארת, that he is dressed in a way that distinguishes him. He is wearing, if you like, his habit, something that makes him look different from all other people. And in Malachim it says, ומיודעיו וכהניו, talking about the servants of the king. So in many places, the word Kohen does not mean anything more than a servant. Ata Kohen leolam. You will be a servant, servant of Hashem, forever. Al divrati, by my word, as I promised. Malki Tzedek. Now comes Rashi and says, I told you it was about Abraham, otherwise what's Malki Tzedek doing here? Come many other Mifoshim, and they tell us as follows. This Malki Tzedek is a title. It means the righteous king. And it's not a proper noun. It is a descriptor. It's like saying, Your Highness, You're gracious. That's what it means. You will be a king that is righteous. What was David known for? In Shmuel Bet, we read as follows. Vayhi David oseh mishpat utzdakah lechol amo. David, once he sat and became king and accepted by all Am Yisrael, he saw as his role, number one, to do mishpat utzdakah, to enforce, execute the law, but to go a step further and take the law and, if you like, mix it with mercy and create tzedakah. Ah, his job was not to take over the shoftim or the Sanhedrin or the Navi'im. But there are times when a king has to do, if you like, executive order. And the executive order is that when something cannot be adjudicated because there's a lack of witnesses, because a theft was too small to be brought to court, because the person who is the plaintiff is too poor to bring it to court, the king has to sometimes step in. It is why executive power also allows somebody to give a pardon. Even when somebody has been found guilty, the king can extend mercy extrajudiciously. And therefore, your job is Malki Tzedek, my king, the king of justice. But now, that word appears again, and this time with the kamatz. Adoshem al yemincha. Please notice the reversal. God said, sit to my right hand. And now it says, Hashem is at your right hand. Similar to what we've seen in some of the Tehillim, where it says, Hashem tzilcha al yad yeminecha. Hashem is your shadow at your right hand. And remember, yemin Hashem osa chayil. Where is God's presence manifest? When you try to use the hand that is the hand that's dexterity, the hand that represents your power and your valor, and when it is when you are successful, you recognize that this was not me alone. It was God being the wind under my wings. Machatz b'yom apo melachim. And he crushed on the day of his rage all the kings. It wasn't you, David, or it wasn't you, Avraham, or it wasn't you, Melech HaMashiach. It was God being at your right hand, stealing you, giving you the koiches that you otherwise would not have had. And now comes the last section that seems to substantiate, if you like, the vision that Sfono had, but perhaps works elsewhere. Yadin bagoyim male gviot. On that day of his anger, of God's anger, he will judge all of the nations going out to the battlefield, male gviot, full of corpses. Machatz rosh, he will crush the head, al eretz rabba, on this great land, or on a great land. At least that's the way the pshat would work. Radak says eretz rabba might refer to Rabat Amon. Rabat Amon is today the capital of Transjordan, where David had a great battle with the Ammonites and won it at the last minute after a battle of many, many casualties. There he, David, with God's power, brought them to judgment, though at a price of many corpses. There he managed to crush the head, and the head being the head of the Ammonim, the king himself, and bring the battle to an end. Rashi says, no, this is the message of Brit Ben Aptarim that tells us that 400 years we will be enslaved and strangers in the land that's not our own. And God foretold that on the right day, he will stand at our right side and he will crush kings. He will judge the nations, particularly the Egyptians, with many corpses lying at the shore of the Red Sea where they drowned. And more importantly, Machatz Rosh al Eretz Rabba, says Rashi, this is a reference to none other than Paro. He will crush his head on that great land. And therefore, as far as he's concerned, it's a fulfillment. I swore and I will not regret that. Gam et hagoy asher ya'avod dan anochi. Even the nation that they will be enslaved to, I will call to judgment. Sfono says that Melech HaMashiach will come after Milchemet Gog u'Magog, where it will be won by none other than Moshiach ben Yosef. Remember that there's two Mashiachim, the son of Yosef and the one from the house of David. The one from Yosef is ultimately killed, but he wins the war of Gog u'Magog after there is a horrible battle in which so many people are killed, gathering together all of the dispersed Jews from all over the world and all of the good people together to come under his dominion. Machatz Rosh, he will crush the head. The head that needs to be crushed is the head, if you like, of Amalek, those who would destroy Am Yisrael at any cost, even at their own cost of their own living. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says, no, this is across our entire history. The Ribbono Shel Olam stands at our side as we spread the message of monotheism throughout the nations. Again and again they rise up to kill us. Shebichol dor vador omdim aleinu lechaloteinu. And God judges them, and battlefields are filled with carcasses, while the Ribbono Shel Olam standing at our right hand, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. The Rosh is whatever leader happens to be at that point over the land that is great. What great land are we referring to? He means empires. So he says it like the Roman Empire, like the British, empire, like I dare say the thousand-year Reich. Machatz Rosh, al Eretz Rabba, because this head, al Eretz Rabba, is a force that would destroy other nations, taking their lives, their bodies, their countries, their labor, for his own aggrandizement. Comes the last part. Minachal baderech yishte. And from a little stream on the way, he will drink. Al ken yarim rosh. Who will drink? Hashem? The king? Melech HaMoshiach? Avraham Avinu? Since he said, Rashi, that this is a prediction of, that was predicted in Brit Ben Haptarim, it is our enslavement in Egypt. The Nachal is the Nilus, the Nile. On the way out of Egypt, we will drink from the Nile. But Paro also drank from the Nile. Al ken yarim rosh. Therefore, he is proud and lifts up his head in arrogance, saying, as it's written in the book of Yecheskel, Li Yeori, the Nile is mine, the Ani Asitani, and I made myself. That's why God must crush him. Others tell us, no, no, no. The Rosh is the head of a stream. Since the whole thing is about the battle in Ammon, that land is the land which is the head of the rivers that pour into, the little streams that pour into the Jordan River, over the land called Rabba, because it's Rabbat Ammon. It is a mountainous area from which the snow pours down into streams that feed into the Jordan River. Who drank from those waters? Well, there's a perfectly good description in Shmuel about the battle in Ammon where they thirsted, and there on the way David drank from the river, that little stream. Therefore, he could lift his head up and continue to battle and to victory over the Ammonites. Amos Chacham in Mosad Rav Kook argues, I see this as a general promise to Am Yisrael fighting its enemies and making a promise that though those wars are going to take many casualties on both sides with many dead people, we need to know that our armies will find sources of water in their battle and therefore be able to lift their heads up from under and vanquish their enemies. And he sees it just in general terms. Radak, however, paints it in a way that we later on read it in some of our Zmiris of Shabbos. And that is when God finally takes vengeance against all of our enemies, it is as if Hashem will drink their blood on the way back from the battlefield. Kivyachol. This, he says, is kemo mashal. It's just an allegorical expression. And it is similar to what's written in Bamidbar in the prophecy of Bilam, where he says as follows, Hen am kelavi yakum. This is a nation that will rise up again like a lioness. And like a lion, he will rise up. Lo yishkav, and he does not go to sleep. Ad yochal teref, until he eats his prey. Vedam chalalim yishte, and he will drink the blood of the carcasses that he killed. Bilam describes Am Yisrael ultimately vanquishing its enemies. And the drinking of their blood is in fact taking, if you like, their loot, their strength, and riding over them.